Let's all bow before Almighty Yahweh. Father, we come before you tonight on your first day. We thank you for allowing us to come out to worship you, to be with others of like faith. We pray that what we do during this time may be a blessing. It may be honoring and pleasing to you. Father, you are the one that commands us to gather and to worship you during these 7 and 8 days. We would pray again that we would honor you in all that we would do, all that we would say, all our actions, all our behavior would be honoring and pleasing to you. Father, we thank you now, and we pray that your blessing, that your spirit, that your guidance, that your wisdom may be upon each one here as we have gathered to do your will. And we ask all this in Yahshua's name. Hallelujah. Well, it's a treat to see you all here tonight. Many of faces I know and has been with us for many years, and a few new faces, so it's certainly a blessing. Well, tonight, I'd like to share with you a few. I normally do this most every year. I think it's good that we sort of start off with the right foot, if you will. And tonight we're going to speak about tips on how we can achieve a blessed feast. Now, I never write this one out, so this is sort of off the cuff, so if I make a mistake, please forgive me. So we're going to talk about 10, or we're going to look at 10 passages. Some of them will be duplicate topics, as in a serving and other lessons that we, as Yahweh's people, should be learning and striving to implement during this time. So here's our first passage, and this clicker is not... Where do I point this, you guys? Is that the first one? You know, I was pointing it there. It doesn't work either, right? But we got it to go, so... Leviticus 23, this is the first lesson here to a blessed feast. Yahweh says here, these are the feasts of Yahweh which you shall proclaim to be holy convocation. What is a holy convocation? What is a holy convocation? Or the term holy is Kodesh Mikra in the Hebrew. And it literally means a sacred or set apart meeting. So Yahweh says you're going to come together. It's going to be a sacred or hallowed time for fellowship. To come together to meet others, to worship me. It says, to offer an offering made by fire to Yahweh, a burnt offering and a grain offering, a sacrifice and drink offerings, everything on its day. So notice that we have offerings during this time. Matter of fact, I'm not going to look at this, but if you go to Numbers 28 and 29, we find there that there were offerings on each and every day of this feast. Matter of fact, the offerings increased as the days went on, showing that each day of this feast is important. I know some people, they say, I'll keep the first and last day, and that's good enough. No, Yahweh doesn't say that within his word. Yahweh says, you shall honor me, and you shall observe every day I have commanded you. And we find that there is a scriptural lesson within the sacrifices for this. Or it says, besides the Sabbaths of Yahweh, besides your gifts, besides all your vows, and besides all your free will offerings, which you give to Yahweh. So we find here that in addition to fellowship, in addition to this being a holy convocation, again, that we are to bring an offering to Yahweh. We are to worship Him. And as Steve mentioned at the beginning of his review, this is why we're here. We're here to worship Yahweh. We're not here for a vacation. We're not here for fellowship. We're not here for any other reason but to simply worship our Father in heaven. That is why we're here. And you know, sometimes we're going to do with that. I know it's going to get hot in this building at, you know, throughout the feast. But again, we're not here to be comfortable in all circumstances. We're here to worship our Father in heaven. That is why we're here. That is what we should be doing during this time. So that is the first lesson. We need to remember why we are here. And that is to worship our Father in heaven. Again, if you go back and look at the sacrifices, we find that each and every day the Israelites were worshiping Almighty Yahweh. They were giving sacrifices and worshiping Him during this time. When the feast is also a time of learning, a time of learning, and we find this in Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 2. It says, so Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly of men and women. So notice here that it wasn't just the men. Some people say only the men are to attend this feast, or it's not true. We know in Deuteronomy 16 that it says that all the families, the entire families, to come and worship Yahweh on this day, not just the men. We find here that the men and women and all who could hear with understanding on the first day of the seventh month. Now this is trumpets, but we also know that they observed the Feast of Tabernacles. So what did he do during this time? Where verse 3 says, then he read from it in the open square that was in the front of the water gate from morning until midday. So they got up early in the morning, he read. And the people gathered, and they listened, and they learned of Yahweh's word. And they did this literally from morning until midday, until the afternoon. It says, before the men and women and those who could understand and the ears of all the people were attentive, notice attentive, to the book of the law. You know, Steve talked about being engaged, being focused on what is being spoken during this time. Well, that's not a new concept. We find that concept within Yahweh's word. Yahweh says here that we're to be attentive when we hear the reading and the expounding of his word. So during this time, to achieve a blessed feast, what are we to do? We are to be here to learn, to grow in wisdom, to grow in understanding, to leave knowing more than what we understood when we arrived. Or another lesson, and we touched on this, and this is such an important lesson, and that is fellowship. We already read this, Leviticus 23, and actually this is 33 through 37. Says here, these are the feasts of Yahweh which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations. I'll just stop there. Again, what does this phrase mean? Or again, it's from the Hebrew Kodesh Mikra, and it literally means a sacred or calling out assembly. So during this time, not only are we to worship our Father in heaven, but we are to fellowship with others of like faith. You know, I know people, they come and they leave the feast and say, you know, it just wasn't a great feast. You know what? They never did anything. They stayed in the room. They refused to engage and participate in fellowship. And look, if we're going to get something out of this feast, we have to put something into it. We will only get what we put in. And that is the truth that I've seen year after year. I've been keeping the feast for all my life. And I know that we will only get in what we, or get out what we put in. If we refuse to fellowship, if we defer to participate in the activities, if we stay in our rooms, in this case, for many of you, sadly, motel rooms, you know, you're not going to get a lot out of it. So I would encourage you to come to participate, be at all the activities. You don't have to play baseball or kickball. We're not looking for everybody to participate. But be spectators, if nothing else. You don't have to be participants with everything. But we want to see you. We want to know that you're here, and we want to know that you're enjoying the feast. So please come and enjoy, not only during the worship times, and Steve's right. I mean, we need to be here during the worship times. That is why we're here first and foremost, is to worship our Father in heaven. And if we're not here, we are forsaking and not fulfilling the obligations of this feast, because we are here to worship him. But again, this is also a time of fellowship. And when we do not fellowship, we forfeit the blessings that we can benefit from this time. Matter of fact, we find within the word a warning against this. Hebrews 10:25 says here, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as a manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. You know, times are becoming very hard, and we are seeing many of the signs coming to pass, I believe, at the end of this age. And I don't believe that we may not have too much time left. And I believe that we should use every opportunity we have to fellowship and to grow as believers. And we can't do that in an isolation. We must be engaged again. We must participate. We must fellowship. We must do so with other believers. I know there's people out there that they no longer desire to be part of organized religion. Well, you know, or number one, I mean, if you don't have organized religion, you have disorganized religion, and that's not a good thing. But number two, again, as a single person, as a single believer, we will not grow. We need the support of one another. And that's what we find here. The writer of Hebrews is saying, don't forsake the fellowshipping. Don't give it up. Because you need one another. And we need those here, and we need those we know outside of this group. So I would encourage you again, while you're here, to take time to be active, to participate, and serve. You know, we're going to talk about that. I'll actually save that until the next passage here. This is the next lesson, matter of fact, is serving. I believe that this is one of the most important lessons we find with this feast. Philippians 2, verse 3. It says, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit. That's such an important concept in this world today. You know, this nation is driven by this concept of selfish ambition. You know, what can I achieve? What can I get out of this? How can I benefit? As Yahweh's people, we're not to think this way. How should we think? How should we be thinking as believers in the faith? It says, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. That's hard to do. But that's exactly what we should be doing as believers. We should be looking first to the welfare and to the good of others before our own. Sadly, though, this is against human nature. And in many cases, this is not done even by believers. But this is what we're to do. It says, let each one of you look not out only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Now, verse 5 is really the key here. It says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Messiah Yahshua. You know, Scripture says that we're to walk in his examples. We're to do as he did. We're to live as he lived. We're to worship as he worshiped. And we're to love and we're to think of others as he loved and thought of others. Yahshua gave his life. Yahshua gave everything he had. Why? He did it for us, not himself. Yahshua could have lived. He could have been in a much better position. But no, he gave it all up. He gave everything, including his life, so that we might have hope of everlasting life within his Father's kingdom. We find here that this mind should be in us, that we too should have this mind of serving, that we should have this mind of selflessness, that we should have this mind of removing selfish ambition, conceit. And again, that's hard to do, because it is. It goes against human nature. Human beings, they want to know, how can I please self? How can I benefit self? How can I achieve more? Scripture says different. Scripture says that we're not to have this mind. So I would encourage you all during this time to serve. You know, we get a lot out of the feast when we serve our fellow brethren. All too often, again, the people that I hear complain, they never served. They weren't there looking at how they could benefit the other. They were there how to benefit themselves. They were there to have a good time. And when things did not happen as they anticipated, where they fell short with their feast experience. Well, I believe that to gain the most from the feast, we are to look for opportunities to serve one another. And you know, that brings up what Steve was talking about. And I'm going to hold these up one by one because I think it's so important. I would encourage y'all to find time to volunteer. We have many, many things you all can do. And I would personal plea for the breakfast in the morning. I tell you that biscuits and gravy and pancakes sounds awfully good. But we will only have those items if we have volunteers. We try to pick real simple dishes, by the way, this year. Pancakes. Even I can make pancakes. Now, I'm not sure if I can make biscuits and gravy. You will not see my name when we're doing biscuits and gravy. But, you know, I would really encourage everybody to serve, because that is, again, one reason we're here. So here's ways you can serve, and you're going to see these in the back. Men's barbecue, sign-up sheet for that. Of course, we have one for the Kansas City Zoo. I'd like to see everybody there. Kitchen cleanup. I don't want to see our poor sister Dreama do all the cleaning, so I would encourage y'all to sign up and help and participate and make sure that we're all pulling our weight. Grounds cleanup, just making sure that the things in the grounds are picked up and kept tidy. Dining room cleanup. I'm not going to hold any of these up, but bathroom cleanup. And we have a few others that I don't have up here. But I would encourage y'all to look for opportunities to serve. We find an example of this, and you know, this is one of my favorite passages. Matthew 20, 27 through 28. It says, "And whoso desires to be first among you, let him be your slave or his servant." You know, there's a lot of people who would like to be first. There's a lot of people in this world who would like to be on top. But what did Yahshua say here? Before we can achieve such a position, what must we do? Yahshua said that we must become a slave to one another. We must become a slave. We must become a servant if we will be exalted in the kingdom. It doesn't work the other way around. It does not work if we refuse to serve. And that goes for the ministers and those in leadership positions. We're no better than anyone else. We also need to be serving and helping and looking at how we can benefit those gathered here. 28, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but what did he do? He says he, but to serve. You know, if anybody had a right or had the position to be served, don't you think it would have been Yahshua the Messiah? Don't you think that he had a right to be served, to be exalted? But what do we find here? We find here that Yahshua chose not to be served, but he instead chose to serve. And as we find in Philippians 2, we are to have this mind within us. So I would just encourage you all to serve while you're here. You're going to get much more out of the feast if you are here to serve and help and participate and be engaged. If you stay in your room or if you focus on your own selfish desires, believe me, you're not going to get what you can out of this feast. We all need to be a family. That's the other thing, especially those immersed in Yahshua's name. We're a family of Messiah. You know, some people ask, you know, do we keep formal membership? And we don't. And here's why we don't. Because there's other groups out there. There's other assemblies. There's others who are baptized in Yahshua's name beyond this assembly. And this is Yahshua's body does not stop with this assembly. We don't belong to a group. We belong to our Savior, Yahshua the Messiah. And for that reason, we don't keep official membership. We do consider certain people members, obviously, with their participation. But we don't keep official membership because, again, we're all brothers and sisters in one body. And that is Yahshua the Messiah. So we're a family here, those immersed. And we should participate and show love and humility as family members would. Now, another thing we should do is avoid contentions. Titus chapter 3, verse 9 says, "But avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contentions and strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and vain." You know, I've seen some feast sites that all they want to do is argue about the Bible. Well, let me just be honest with you. This is not the time or the place. We are here to fellowship. We are here to show support. We are here to show love. We are here to serve. We are not here to fight. We are not here to strive. We are not here to be contentious. And I would ask that you would remove that if that is your goal, and I'm sure it's not. But during this time, we are to avoid contentions. We are to avoid strifes. We are to avoid fighting, and especially about the Word. Now, if you have a question, we would also encourage you to come to myself, Elder Allen, Elder Bob, or Deacon Terry. We would all be happy to talk to you. Believe me, we're not judgmental. If you have a question or would like to bounce something off of us, we would be glad to sit down and do that with you. And we will not judge you in any way for that. But we would simply ask that you would not cause contention within the camp. And I believe that those, if we follow this, again, this feast is going to be a blessing to everybody. Because again, we're here to worship. We're here to fellowship. We're here to support. We're here to show love to one another. Now, this sort of brings up the next lesson here, and that is unity. During this time, I believe that unity is pivotal. We must have unity as believers within the Messiah. We know that the Psalms speaks about unity, Psalms 113. I remember I had to memorize this as a child. It says, "Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." Again, unity is a good thing. We find that here. It says how pleasant it is. It is like the precious oil upon the head running down the beard of Aaron running down the edge of his garments. It is like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion, for there Yahweh commanded the blessing, life forevermore. So during this time, I would encourage you to be united, to look for those opportunities that bind us together and not separate us. Because again, if we strive all to have unity at this feast, strive to support one another, I can assure you that this feast is going to be a great blessing for those in attendance. There's another lesson we find within the Word, and that is we're to be generous during this time. We find an example of this in Nehemiah. You know, Nehemiah and Ezra, we know the history there. They just came out of Babylonian exile. They were discovering and renewing and coming to a fuller knowledge of Yahweh's Word. They had been in exile for 70 years in Babylon, not having the opportunity to know or understand. Think about if we were removed from this nation 70 years. Think about what we would lose and forget as a nation and as a people, even believers. Or here we find an opportunity to make things right, to restore and bring back the Word and truth of our Father in heaven. Nehemiah chapter 8, 10 through 12, it says, "Then he said to them, 'Go your way, eat the fat.'" Now, it doesn't mean literally fat. It just basically means the overabundance. Because this is a time that we can splurge during this feast. It says, "Drink the sweet and send portions to those for whom nothing is prepared, for this day is holy to our master. Do not sorrow, for the joy of Yahweh is your strength." So the Levites quieted all the people, saying, "Be still, for the day is holy. Do not be grieved." That's a lesson, again, that we're not to be grieved during this time. We're to rejoice. We're to be happy. We're to be jubilant. In verse 12, all the people went their way to eat and drink and send portions and rejoiced greatly because they understood the words that were declared to them. So we find here that the people literally sent portions and they sent gifts to one another, those who had nothing. And I would encourage everybody here to do the same. If we see a brother, if we see a sister in need, help them. That's why we're here. You know, if we can't help, we know pure religion. How does, I don't have this on the slide here, but I'm going to read it anyway. Well, what do we find in James? If you have your Bible, turn with me. If not, that's fine. I'm not going to lead you astray. James chapter 1, verse 27. Here's what it says. It says, "Pure religion and undefiled before Elohim and the Father is this." So this is how our Father in heaven defines pure and unadulterated religion. How does he do it? He says here, "To visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world." So help those without, really is a message we find here. Help those who have nothing. So during this feast, we find an example again in Nehemiah that they were literally doing this. He says, "Look, don't be sorry," because they just came out. They were discovering, and you know, wisdom, as we find in Ecclesiastes, wisdom increases sorrow. When we understand that we've been in sin and when we have fallen short, where this is a case here, the Israelites were falling short. Judah was falling short because Judah did not have the word of Yahweh with them. But they discovered it, and they realized they were falling short. The people, they were in sorrow. But we find here in Nehemiah saying, don't do that. It says, rejoice and be glad, and send portions, help those in need. And they did this. And we find here that this was a time of rejoicing like none other. Now, I want to leave you with one more tip. And this is a big one, and I would hope and pray that you all would try to do this. Not just listen, but actively look for opportunities. Deuteronomy 16, 13 through 14. Listen, it says, "You shall observe the Feast of Tabernacles 7 days. When you have gathered from your threshing floor and from your winepress." Now, listen to verse 14. This is an important passage. It says, "And you shall rejoice in your feast." Rejoice. So we are literally commanded to do what during this time? I want to hear it. Rejoice. That's kind of weak. I want to hear it again. Or, I was looking for rejoice, Linda. But we're to do that too during this time. So you're just not right for the time, but certainly a correct answer. We are to rejoice. We are to rejoice during this feast. We are to be happy. We are to be glad. And look, there's going to be times that we're going to be hot, that we might be a bit uncomfortable, that things may not be going quite as we would like them to. But nonetheless, Scripture says to do what? Well, I'm going to quiz you all at the end of the feast. We're going to see how many remember that. The other thing I want to point out here real quick is, listen to verse 14. It says, "And you shall rejoice in your feast, you and your son and your daughter, your male servant and your female servant, and the Levite, the stranger, and the fatherless, and the widow who are within your gates." So who should be observing this feast?
Everyone.
Everyone. That's right, everyone. Every single person under our house should be observing this feast. There's, again, many people who believe that only the men are to attend. Well, that's not what we find within the Word. What we find within the Word is that the entire family is to come, they're to congregate, they're to worship, they're to rejoice, they're to fellowship during this time. Now, that's why we do activities, by the way. Because we believe strongly here at this ministry that this is a time to be jubilant, that this is a time of rejoicing, not only for adults, by the way, but for the entire family. If you noticed on the schedule, there are many, many opportunities for this during this feast. We have activities for the adults. We have kickball and baseball and the zoo. I like the zoo. I don't know about you, but I enjoy the zoo. Let's see, what else do we have here? No? Let's see. I guess that's it. I thought I was... Oh, the hike and the bike. I'm going to be biking, by the way, for those who... things like Golden Corral and any other opportunity we have to come together to fellowship, to worship, is a great time and is going to make your feast experience that much better. So I'd just like to leave that with you tonight. I'm not going to go long. I'm actually going to stop here. And again, welcome everybody. It is nice and a blessing. It's wonderful to see all those gathered, and I know we have more coming yet. I pray that this feast is a blessing for all of you. I pray that when you leave, you're going to leave with feelings that you've come out with greater knowledge, greater wisdom, greater insight, and a greater passion and zeal for our Father in heaven. Because that, again, is why we're here. We're here because He says to be here. We're not here for any other reason. We're here because He says, "You shall do this." And we've been faithful. We're here. We're to worship Him. And I believe that if we do what we've heard tonight, let me just review those with you one more time here. We're to worship. What else are we to do? We're you got that one down. I'm telling you. Learning. We're to learn while we're here. Every service, I would encourage you to make every opportunity to be here, to listen, to be engaged, to take notes. Why else? What else can we do? We can fellowship. Yes, somebody was taking notes. That was the right order. Fellowship. We're not to forsake fellowship. What else?
Serve.
Right order. You guys are doing great tonight. Why are we to serve? We are to serve because the Messiah served, right? He came not to serve, but to serve. I'll get it right. And we're to walk, and we're to do, and we're to follow in that example. What else are we to do? This is kind of a negative one, but still important. We're to avoid contentions. Very good. Now, what's another one? This is important. It begins with a U. I'll give you a hint. Unity. Psalms 133, we're to be united. You know, Paul spoke about that in 1 Corinthians. I promised I'm not going to read anymore. I'll just sort of refer to it. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul talks about unity within the body. And he talks about how it's so important that we recognize and realize and understand that we're all part of the same body. You know, he would say some were part of Apollos and others were part of were other people. And he's saying, look, it doesn't work that way. He says, we're part of one body. And that is Yahshua the Messiah. We are all family here. What else are we to do? If you guys keep this up with rejoicing, we're going to have one memorable feast. We're to be generous. So I would encourage again one more time, if you see an opportunity to help another brother or sister in the faith, don't neglect it, don't overlook it. Step out in faith and help that brother and sister. And we've already touched on the last one, rejoice, multiple times. So with that, again, I'd like to welcome you here. I'd like to say one more time, it's just a great blessing to to see everybody. And I pray that this feast is a blessing for everybody here. May Yahweh bless.